Welcome to Born on a Train. This is Ghost Noise.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
A trio from Los Angeles, the northeasterly side of Los Angeles, pretty much. And then Sadie's in the room, too. tell me about the name first. Where's the name from? What's a ghost noise? Is it rattling chains? Is it?
It actually has no real meaning, honestly. We put together a big list of words that we thought were like aesthetically pleasing.
We're like, we just need a name right now.
And we kind of just stitched words together. We had like, I remember chandelier was on the list. I'm trying to think of other words that were on that list, but ghost and noise were on it, and Gobby was the one that connected the words.
It was like a possibility, and we were like, that's a nice one. We all agreed, or at least John and I did, because
this was actually before Josh was
born.
Before Josh was born, yes.
Josh joined a couple months after.
You guys seem like old souls. Yeah. Thirty years ago, and you're thinking about the band. 10 years later, Josh is born. You guys are young, right? You're pretty young. You guys are just started drinking. Is that the thing? How old?
Are I'm you a guys? Little older, but yeah, we're all. We're all young-ish people. Okay.
I'm 23.
I'm 22.
But I've been drinking my whole life. So.
Ah, that's
the same.
The tears of
since you were a child.
So you've all been in LA the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've probably seen a lot of music as you've been growing up. I mean, I always think about people that live here probably are exposed to film and music at a really early age. What are some of your earliest remembrances of music? And has any of that affected you in what you're doing now? Or what over your young life has affected your music? Hmm. Or has it? I mean, or are you just, well, you guys just charged?
I was waiting to see if somebody else want to go
for
a second.
I have one.
You go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah.
When I was
all of you answer.
When I was like, I don't know, 5, I think, I saw Joan Jett, which was like, whoa, this is like, I'm 5 years old. I'm seeing Joan Jett. That was a pretty big deal for me. That's like the first kind of.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
When I was in third grade, we had a talent show.
Uh-huh.
And these guys got together and they all did a Joan Jett set. They did a Joan
nice.
Jett song. And the one of my friends, Brooke Parlow, was Joan Jett. And that was the first time I had seen a boy in our class be a girl, and it
yes.
didn't really occur to me what was happening, but it was amazing, and I was like, really, like, that performance was amazing to me.
Damn,
it was crazy, and they were, you know, they're doing the song by the jukebox song, you know.
Nice.
I love rock and roll.
Yeah. I keep thinking Pour Some Sugar on Me, but
similar.
Actually,
yeah.
Wow. You could do like a medley.
You could do a crossover thing, a mashup.
Aiden's coming in.
Hey.
No.
Aiden, what's your favorite music memory? Do you have a music memory? No? No music memory?
Okay. Ooh, do you have one?
Yeah.
You like Linkin Park?
I don't know.
Linkin Park?
Linkin Park?
Yes.
That was the jam.
That's great.
You guys, I'll answer that question.
You can answer first.
I guess what immediately comes to mind is when I was like either 14 or 15, I saw Lou Reed, and I don't remember where, but I saw Lou Reed somewhere, and it was with who's now Anony, from Anthony and the Johnsons at the time, and also this like Tai Chi performer. And it was just like, it was, they were all on the stage at the same time. And it was probably, I think that's the first time I had like a music experience that I think really like actually blew
like
me
away. Like
it
could be different. Yeah, it
right.
Could be,
like
yeah,
I,
it's not just
it,
a rock.
It was like, it was un, yeah, exactly. It wasn't just like a standard rock and roll thing. It was like something I had never experienced before. So probably that.
But that was probably like a pretty quintessential like LA zone, like Greek theater or like
I think it might have been the Wiltern. Okay. I think it was the Wiltern. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things. I think people here they have the access to shows that probably don't happen in a lot of their spaces around. You know,
yeah.
maybe aside from kids who grew up in New York or something.
Yeah, definitely. Growing up in LA gives you access to things.
And they also have parents that are into that stuff generally. Or
totally.
Gabi?
Yeah. Speaking of parents, yeah, my dad is a musician, so he's taking me to shows like right after I was born. Like, wow. Like not like they weren't like crazy, like, you know, punk shows or anything. My dad's a jazz, you know, classical salsa musician. He does a bunch of stuff now, but my parents always remind me, like, my very first show was like at the Hollywood Bowl when I was a few months old. and like everybody was just staring, like, why did they bring this tiny baby? But I was like I was like quiet the entire time, so I made it through. And like I grew up listening to just like a ton of classical music. My dad used to like quiz me on like composers when he would take me to school in the morning.
Is he a horn player? Or
he plays a few violin? Instruments. He plays a violin, viola, trombone, trumpet, tuba. He tried picking up mandolin. I think he doesn't really do it much, but I think he like messes with it sometimes. But those are his main instruments, and that's what he does for a living. He's a session musician. And my first like realization of like because I loved like I liked the music that they played for me, but they were playing it for me, and it wasn't really something that I like automatically connected with just like right away, even though like I did enjoy classical music when I was a kid too.
Right.
But like the first thing that like really like made me feel totally different was like I think my mom's like Cyndi Lauper CD. And it had, like, all of the hits on it, like, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Time After Time. And, like, there were synths on it. I previously not, like, really experienced synths and stuff. And I also got into, like, David Bowie at a really early age because of The Labyrinth and stuff, like, a kid's movie. And I was, like, who is this magical man? And I looked him up. It was the first record I ever bought was a Ziggy Stardust record at like a garage sale for like $1. And it was like, I was like in like the sixth grade, I think. But I also really liked listening to a lot of trash too. So you kind of have to. Listen to like Radio Disney.
The set you played tonight is not a typical Ghost Noise set. How could you describe what you typically are doing with this group? And
I think normally we go for a range of things, like including like post-punk. We have at least in the past post-punk. We've done synth pop, and we've done like sort of dream pop stuff. And a lot, we have two albums done or have been out for a few years. And those were more along the lines of like synth pop and post punk, but now we're kind of focusing more on like a sort of strictly like pop type thing, with still incorporating like synth. We're still playing the instruments we normally play, but we're not going for much of like a darker route like we have in the past. Hello. All the homies in the house.
This is how we work. Okay.
They're at the bug house.
The bug house.
Oh, yeah, there's a cool bug house outside.
It's nicknamed the bug house.
It is like a stick
bridge. So you're talking about more production and more...
Production-wise, but also just like almost like standard pop writing. Like, okay. So like in the past, we've kind of like... we've not really like focused on doing like standard pop writing, like, right. You know, verse chorus bridge, whatever. We sort of just did whatever. But this time we've kind of done a little bit more of that. We still have stuff that isn't really traditional, but I mean, either way, it's still us. It's just a little bit dancier.
Yeah.
And just like poppier.
Focused. Yeah.
It's interesting the way that happened. I want to say that it was like partially a concerted effort, but I think also kind of it just sort of also just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like it was really forced into happening. It sort of naturally became a thing. We just
Would be a thing. Would be a thing I've seen about your guys' band, because I feel like I've seen you guys grow up in doing this and go through doing it. Sorry. Not
yeah.
Cool. But it's a very organic process for this group. I mean, you just keep going, and like playing shows, and then the music comes out of the shows, and the I don't know what else to say, but this it seemed like a very organic process, like you're saying.
That's cool to hear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you were like at one of like our early shows at our old like rehearsal space like a long time ago too. Yeah. So you have seen us at like early phases.
Yeah, that's true.
And stuff. So yeah, but I think like not, you know, on purpose, but just like almost like instinctually, like we went through a really dark period in the last album, and it was like it's a much darker album, and I think we just automatically wanted to shift to something else.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's just how this album has gone. It's a little bit later. Well,
I mean, I think you guys are obviously in it for the long term in terms of being musicians, so mm-hmm. it's going to just keep evolving from there.
Yeah.
You
know, who knows?
Sort of how you feel at the time, and you just have to be honest to it. Tonight was all keyboards and, you know, synth or theremin.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are more also guitar and...
Mm-hmm, we do guitar.
The
we
vocals.
Have
all three of you sing?
Just John and I.
Nope. The offer has always been on the table for Josh to sing.
We've never heard Josh try to sing, and we feel like he's secretly, like, amazing.
If there was a third mic in there ever, but...
there's been like there at least was like an ongoing sort of like half joke of like someday being a whole album where Josh is just the vocalist.
Maybe just spoken
and like
word.
Bobby and I don't sing at all.
Get me drunk.
And we'll
record a whole album just like yeah.
I feel
totally
like it would actually
inebriated.
Be really cool.
Yes.
We should do it. I'm down.
And you guys are gracing the stages of the Britisher tonight in Lancaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This probably won't be out in time to warn anybody about that.
Right.
You guys have done some extensive touring, too? I mean,
this year we won one.
Give me some stories on the road. Shout out.
You sound like
everybody.
You have a story, so you can tell.
Oh, no. Ooh, you are putting me on the spot.
The last tour was probably the biggest tour. We went like all the way up the coast to Washington and back down with our friend Chase from Austin, Texas. He has a project called This Cold Night.
Yeah, that was really fun. I'd never been in Seattle or like Oregon or any of that, or even just like all the way up at that northern part of California.
Right.
So this was a new experience.
Yeah, I think for like a lot of us, like I was in the same boat, and I think Chase.
I don't think Chase had been up there either, and this was our. I knew him from like the internet, and for like a couple years, and so and like I don't know, we were just I know he had
a
project.
We were
just kind of like, I mean, he'd been putting out so much stuff like on a regular basis, and it was great, and like he still is, and we were just like, oh, it'd be really cool if we could like play with him or even tour with him, and he's just one person, and he was like down, and we figured it out like a few months prior, and like we got it all sorted, and he came out here, and he played
smart.
At
he just loaded all in a car.
We got a big van, like just it was like a
some kind of rental van.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And it was great. It was like super great on the trip. It fit everything. We even brought like a weird like mattress type thing that fit in there. The storage was awesome in that van. But we went all the way up and came down, and it was seriously like one of the coolest trips I'd ever been on.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you guys have built up to it with being quintessential hometown band too. I mean, you guys mm-hmm. have hosted a lot of acts. You guys had a residency night at Pear Space.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun.
You throw festivals where you've orchestrated a bunch of people. It's huge. I mean, did you feel like that primed you guys for touring too? Did you see a lot of people you had met through coming to LA?
Yeah, we played with a few people that we had like booked down here, like who lived up in like Northern California or like in the Bay. Not so much, I guess, like Portland. Although we did know some people from Portland. So yeah, we did like kind of have people like when we went up there. Not Seattle, unfortunately.
That was the hardest place to get a show the whole tour. We could not nail anything down in Seattle for some reason.
Yeah.
And
no one came out because it was a Monday.
Yeah.
And but it was still fun because we drank a lot. And we our friends from Canada came down and played with us.
Oh, yeah,
and,
fake
like,
tears.
Going to Canada at all or
no, we didn't get our paperwork stuff done.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to go up there. We didn't have our paperwork done on time, right. But our friends from Vancouver came down and played with us in Seattle, and it was great. Fake Tears are, like, super nice.
We're actually about to play with them a few times in L.A. They're coming back down here, so.
Yeah, we're going to play with them at The Smell and at All Star Lanes.
And a bookstore in Simi Valley.
And oh, yeah. They're playing at the bookstore?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, that's news to us.
Yeah. Simi Valley.
Yeah, that'll be our first time playing there. Yeah.
That's like the closest show to me, basically.
I know.
Like,
wow. It's
going to
be so easy.
Yeah.
Just strolling out. Yeah, that's what's up? There's a bookstore in Geneva?
Yeah, we know this really nice guy named Nick who works at a discount bookstore there called the $5 or Less Bookstore. And wow. I guess he's like starting to host like DIY shows there.
Perfect.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah.
I feel like there's, I mean, you guys have been, you guys have utilized the DIY show areas in LA. And those seem to have kind of changed recently, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paraspace.
It's crazy how much it changes. Just give it a year or two, and it feels like the whole landscape is different every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess now it's Nonplus Ultra.
That's a great space.
Yeah, there are a few places that, you know, are still keeping it going and stuff, which is cool. Hopefully more kind of spring up.
It feels like the Smell thing isn't going away.
Yeah, not soon at the very least.
Backpedaled on that one, the developers.
Yeah.
Hi, Sassy. Oh.
Hello.
Sassy, you have any questions for Ghost Mod? What is next on your guys' agenda? You said you've recorded two songs for a new release.
Yeah.
It'll the third.
This is in the vein of the more pop.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's more writing, I think.
Yeah, we just need to finish writing. I need to finish, like,
lyrics. Do you feel like you're going to add extra instrumentation into it? Like,
more layers.
There are a lot more layers.
Sparkly, twinkly sort of synthesizer sounds.
Also a lot of bass stuff, which we haven't really done in the past.
Bass synth stuff. Bass synth, I should say.
So it's a lot more, I guess, like, rich, more full.
I feel like I felt a lot of undertones in what you were doing tonight.
We've been experimenting more with that.
When we started, we were pretty minimal. Like, it was just John with the one synth, me with my guitar, and then Josh doing some beats, and that was it. That made up pretty much the entire album. And then the second album, we kind of, like, branched out a little bit more. And now this time, we've kind of, like we've got, like, backing, like, synths going on while, like, we're laying synths on that. And then, like, I'm playing more synths, and John has his two synths, and I'm also playing guitar, and John's playing guitar, and there's a lot going on.
It's
going
to be madness doing some of it live.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, yeah.
MIDI, some triggers.
There you go.
Any guys working in the vocal realm, too, with what you're doing?
I mean, John and I are still doing, like, you know, we're both singing on the songs together, and probably during recording, we'll, like, do, you know, layers and, like, of, like, you know, harmonies and stuff. We haven't really done that live.
Right.
You know, it's but on the recording, definitely, we've already done a little bit of that.
When you guys are playing the Hollywood Bowl for your children.
It's funny.
Exactly.
I actually already played at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh!
Once.
Yeah, tell the story.
I was in high school. I was in a jazz band in high school, and I played at the Playboy Jazz Festival.
Yes.
And then it was pretty sweet.
Did you meet Hugh Hefner?
No, but I met Bill Cosby.
Oh, wow. No drinks for him.
Yeah.
That's got to be weird looking back on that.
That was, back before all of this stuff came out. He was just drumming.
He jumped real high.
Whoa.
Oh, my.
That was Aiden.
The kid just, like, coming in, saying something, running away.
Love it.
Freaking.
Wow. Okay, well, to the second time you played
the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
He climb?
He's over the fence. Cub has escaped. Okay. Well, thank you guys for coming to Born on a Train.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
This was so fun.
It's really fun.